And today we're going to be doing list 3 of 4 of 2023, and that is the worst albums of 2023. Starting it off, we got Lil Pump 2 by Lil Pump, which was a long-awaited but unnecessary sequel that we got from him after a 5-year gap between his 2017 debut, when he was very poppin' and having a more SoundCloud-era sound with everyone else as well, and seeing the drastic change in the rap game. Having to have Lil Pump making the same shit that he did in 2017 didn't really make sense and kind of be a little bit of a miss for me and a great amount of people. And having to have Lil Pump going heavy metal and punk just became very drastically sad, to say the least. Number 14, we got Gag Order by Kesha. This was a very fucking underwhelming album, despite having some of the Dr. Luke allegations being free and seeing her trying to transcend herself into a new sound. To me, it just kind of felt a little pandering to me, unfortunately. Next, at number 13, we got Fetty Wap with King Zoo. After quite a while with this guy having to have a great big hit in 2015, 2016, nothing really became the same and kind of fell off. Now coming out with King Zoo still shows off that it's very disappointing and underwhelming for an artist like him to have such great star power to go to waste, unfortunately. Up next at number 12 is Unreal Unearthed by Hozer. This is the newest studio album by the Take Me to Church singer, having to pull in some new material. Kind of does remind me a little bit of his older stuff, but at the same time, the way that it goes on to the structure and songwriting for some of these songs can kind of grow a little dull and feel a little monotonous on everything from the production and the songwriting and his vocals, maybe the mixing a little bit as well too. But as the overall album, it has some ups and downs throughout this whole album, having to kind of pull in more Imagine Dragon feels. I don't know why, but it just does, and it just gives me a headache every time thinking about it. So up next at number 11 is 222 by Lil TJ. Brand new album from the singer slash rapper from New York, having to pull in some more lengthier projects on this one here. I do think that having to have Lil TJ survive his unfortunate gunshot incident and having to have him be motivated to create some more music is a good idea. With some great execution, it could be a great project. But the only thing that kind of bothers me a little bit is, outside of having like one, two, or maybe three good songs off of that album, one of them being the song that he recorded while he was in a hospital bed, it was a little underwhelming and kind of drew out a little bit of time, unfortunately. If it was a little more shorter and condensed down to like maybe, I don't know, like 11, 12 tracks, I would have considered it a little bit better. It would have been a better album. Next up at number 10 is Victor by Vic Mensa. This is a new album from him and having to kind of pull in the direction of self-growth and showing out what he's been through for the past few years and the stuff that he's been through. For me, I respect that as a concept and kind of seeing that being panned out to be pretty good. And throughout this whole album, he has a few decent artists to feature on this project. There's some good songs, like maybe one or two songs off of this album, but the rest just kind of feel a little mundane or kind of pandering to the point for the audience to say like, oh, look, I kind of developed to be a new person, but still at the same time try to be an asshole or whatever. But it seems to be fine. Again, from my point of view, it's solid to see some of the artists that he's working with on this album to add up some decent appeal for everyone, to say the least. But the overall execution for this album didn't really go as much as I would assume for this project. But other than that, it's somewhat of a okay project, but not the best, I'll say. Next up at number 9, we got Saint Michael Volume 2 by Trippy Red, having to be more of the full-length studio album from the first EP of the same name, having to go into the synth rage direction. But again, it just tries his best to be very copy and paste approach how he did on Trip at Night, having to pull in that kind of synthetic but somewhat artificial idea for it. It's a little bit better than how he did for Mansion Music, a lot better, but it's not really the same level of it to be as entertaining for it to be a synth rage project. Next up at number 8 is Ben by Macklemore. This is a new album by the white savior rapper himself, Macklemore, having to pull in a little gap between from his last album in 2017, which was kind of sugarcoating it a very very sweet and predictable concept album, I guess you can say. Other stuff than that, Ben is kind of going into a similar route and kind of showing off some solid messaging, but comes out very corny for some of the stuff for it. Though I like the ideas that Macklemore is trying to go on to. For me, I just wasn't feeling it because it does kind of remind me of some Jack Harlow, Call Me When the Kids Come Home type shit a little bit too. For me, in my eyes, Ben has to be just another pop tune after pop tune. Very typical, very predictable to say the least too, but nothing too exciting to say the least overall. Number 7 is Weed Killer by Ash Nico. The new album released on Halloween, having to kind of have a little spooky era concept for her. But the overall consensus for this album, I do think it was just a run-of-the-mill album from a run-of-the-mill artist like Ash Nico, trying to pop out, stand out differently, going melodic, and as well as being aggressive, to say the least, too. Nothing wrong with that, but it just comes out very weak or kind of run-of-the-mill copy and paste type shit a little bit too. So I was a little bit unmoved a little bit by Ash Nico and her stuff, a little bit from her mixtape as well too, but I still hope there's still some room for her to improve, hopefully, but we'll see. Next up at number 6 is Blockbusta by Busta Rhymes. Now, this one kind of pains me a little bit because I love Busta Rhymes, and the last album that he did, ELE 2, was a great album, really strong, especially adding in the Reloaded tracks as well too. Really strong album. Now, going on to Blockbusta, I was a little bit disappointed, being very hefty and having some, well, interesting and eclectic samples to kind of pull in for some songs and some decent artists to kind of pull into for it. There's some good songs here and there, don't get me wrong, but as an overall album for Blockbusta and for Busta Rhymes, has to be his weakest by far for the new albums that he's been releasing so far. It's a little bit of a letdown to kind of follow up from ELE 2, which is, again, a strong album, really great, and comparing that to Blockbusta, it was something to kind of be expecting really well to do such good things, but it just kind of turns out to fall flat on his face, unfortunately. Now at number 5, we got The First Time by the Kid Laroi, following up to be his debut album, having to pull more eccentric pop tunes as well as more melodic crooning to kind of pull in the whiny vocals, kind of going in time and time again, kind of feels one-noted, repetitive, and the songwriting just kind of feels a little lazy, unfortunately. To me, I just kind of see that every time I listen to a Kid Laroi album, because I try my best to put in a open mindset to open to the Kid Laroi's music a little bit. Even though his whininess does most of the work, there's some solid beats, I'll say that for sure, for this album, to say the least. Next up at number 4, So Much for Stardust by Fall Out Boy. This is the newest project from the pop punk legends themselves, Fall Out Boy, and turns out to fall flat on his face, unfortunately, because the ideas that the boys are going on to for this album should be good enough to execute, but comes out very tedious or very childish, to say the least too. It kind of pulls in a sad little turn for pop punk just for this album here, unfortunately. There's some other great acts in the pop punk scene to kind of do a better follow-up with their sound a little bit without kind of making them too repetitive or closed into a corner a little bit too, and that's what I felt throughout this whole album. It's just they're pinning themselves in a corner where they just can't get out, and it's a little bit better than their last album that they did a while back, but not by a mile at all. It wouldn't have me be motivated to listen to the album again, but one time listen, that's it. It's a little bit disappointing for it. Number 3, we got Rockstar by Dolly Parton. This is the new studio album by country singer, songwriter legend, Miss Dollywood herself, Dolly Parton, having to pull in a switch up on her genre from folk and country to more of a rock focus and rock appeal to her sound. After being inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, she decided to do a cover rock album that is like 30 tracks long and featuring the artist that she's doing covers and renditions of in the album, having to kind of be a little bit of a mess, to say the least, with the soft and delicate vocals that Dolly Parton is known for, as well as some chugging riffs and some solid ideas for cover songs, let alone a whole cover album to kind of pull in different ideas and different songs for her to try. Some of them are okay to a degree, but most of them would just kind of be in favor for the actual artist that she's featuring the covers on, having to pull in some other ideas like going on to Queen or Queen of the Stone Age, so on and so forth. Most of them really don't work well with Dolly, but I admire her for trying a little bit too. Next at number two, we got One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen. This is the super lengthy and bloated album by Morgan Wallen, having to be running over 2 hours of material, which most people wouldn't really stand and kind of listen to the whole album in its entirety. Only time they will do that is like when it first released on the release date of this album, thinking it's like, okay, cool, let's see what he's gonna do. And out of the 2 hours that I've wasted on this album, I regret everything to it. It's only one song that I kind of enjoyed from it, and yeah, just that whole album just felt like a waste of time. Unfortunately, it could have been just condensed down to whatever the amount of tracks it was, to maybe 12 or 13 tracks. There's some okay tracks, most of them are complete fillers and fill-ins to fill in for time, and just, oh my god, I just regretted those 2 hours. I want my 2 hours back, man. Fuck. And finally, at number one, we got A Tomb by Smashing Pumpkins, which the whole album itself was super bloated and lengthy, 33 tracks long, having to have a little running promotion of every 11 weeks from 2022 and a little bit of 2023, having to release 11 songs per 11 weeks. So every 11 weeks, boom, first part, another 11 weeks, boom, second half, third half, another 11 weeks, so on and so forth, to create this big concept album that we see from Billy Corgan, shining on his point of views from both society and a political standpoint. Some of them I can see where he's going, but sometimes they can kind of be a little skewed or narrowed out to what he thinks and what it's possible to do for society and all that mumbo jumbo. All of that stuff I do see is okay for a concept album, as well as the composition and production throughout this album seems pretty decent. Kind of pull in a little new slash old material a little bit for it, but other than that, I just felt a little underwhelmed, having to be such a condensed album and very bloated. It just could have been easily snipped up and sifted to, well, maybe half of the track listing. Unfortunately, even though that I like Smashing Pumpkins and the ideas that they're going on to for this album, this one just has to be a real big flop of an album, and having to be a small gap in between their last project that they released a while ago, it just kind of seems a little disappointing from it. And so that would conclude this episode for today. Hope you enjoyed it. That's just my top 15 worst albums of 2023. But remember, this is my personal opinion based on my personal enjoyment of this project. Thank you, Keep on Creating Metal Junkies.